From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 9th day of April, 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the Senior Grains Analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, starting May 1st, CME Group will require brokerage firms to report daily customer fund account balances. USDA is reporting a downturn in injuries related to underaged workers on the farm. And the NRDC, that's the National Resources Defense Council, is worried Corn Belt states have not done enough to prepare for water shortages. Dade Dickey will have all the details of these stories and others a bit later in the half hour. And then we'll hear about tomorrow morning's release of the United States Department of Agriculture's World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate and how the report should help set the tone for the price of corn and soybeans this season. And don't forget, in just 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast, and that it all happens on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
On this Monday afternoon, futures in Chicago at the CME Group finished the day mixed. Nearby May contract was up 4.5 cents for the soft red to settle at 6.43. July at 6.49, up 2.75. That's the harvest month in the wheat pit. And September at $6.63.75, up 4.5 cents. The hard red in Kansas City finished the July at $6.69.75, a loss today, down 2.25 in Kansas City. Back in Chicago from the CME Group for the corn pit, nearby May futures 9.25 lower, $6.49, the settlement price. July at $6.41.25, down 11. September at $5.68.5, down 3/4. And December unchanged, $5.50.25 since the settlement price. March futures at $5.59.25, down 1.75. In the May of next year, at $5.67.25, down 1.75. December of 2013 at $5.47.25, 3.5 cents lower. May soybean futures down 3 for the day at $14.31. July 14.34.75, down 3. And November beans at $13.82, a half higher. January futures up 3/4 at $13.81 on the afternoon. And the live cattle futures finished the nearby contract at $115.77.5 for the June, down a nickel for the day. This is the Closing Market Report. May feeder cattle on the afternoon at $148.50, up 17.5, and May lean hogs at $94, down 22.5 cents. The outside markets finished up with the May contract in the crude oil actually still trading at $102.48. That's down 82 cents on the afternoon. That a 10-minute delay. Ethanol at 2.26 and 2 tenths, down 2.2 cents a percent. And natural gas at $2.11.5. up 2.75, or rather 2.6 cents a percent. Heating oil futures at $3.14.8 cents a percent, 2 cents higher. That's diesel fuel. And gold futures at $1,642.50 an ounce, up $14. The dollar at 79.71, down 0.16. The CRB index at 304.82, that's down 1.67. Well, this afternoon there is a red flag warning out for most of the listing area. Red flag warning remains in effect until 7 p.m. It simply says the winds are going to be really high and you should not burn this afternoon. So if you're out trying to burn some timber off, some grass or something like that, or just a pile in the backyard, don't do it this afternoon. We'll just have too high a wind. In fact, those winds will be breezy out of the northwest at 21 to 24 miles an hour today. They'll gust all the way to 37. And then tonight, our skies will be clear. We'll have a low of 34 degrees. It'll remain breezy with a 10 to 20 mile an hour wind, gusting all the way to 26. And then tomorrow, sunny, a high of 53, breezy, a northwest wind at 10 to 13. That'll increase between 18 and 21 miles an hour, gusting to 28. Tuesday night, areas of frost. That's right, frost after 1 a.m., otherwise mostly clear, a low of 31 degrees, a northwest wind at 8 to 16. And Wednesday, sunny skies and 56 degrees. Wednesday night, patchy frost after 1, mostly clear, a low of 35. And Thursday, mostly sunny skies, a high of 59. Thursday night, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy, and a low of 44. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon. It is time to check in on the agricultural futures markets. On the phone line with us, Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, where he serves as their senior grains analyst. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Take me through tomorrow morning's WASDE numbers. Lots of things on the world stage and some unique numbers coming out again tomorrow morning after our grain stocks report and what we should find in usage domestically.
Looks like the average guess on bean carryouts coming in near this 246 million bushel estimate versus about a 275 in March, just a little tighter there. Corn carryout about 721 million bushels versus a March estimate of 801, and the wheat carryout 792 versus 825. Just looking at a little tighter number here on the domestic side of the equation. Optimism on the demand side on exports, and of course the stocks numbers being a little tight. We'll see how the numbers, what categories are added or subtracted from to get those estimates. I don't know if there'll be anything really new there. There'll be enough fuel on the fire here to continue to talk about the corn ending stocks, where pipeline is, and I know everyone's got an opinion on that, but it is probably going to go ahead and verify tight corn situation. But the thing that probably will get the most market move will be the world supply-demand balance sheet. Trade is expecting for the South American numbers to be lowered. We need to see a South American crop come in 2 to 4 million metric tons lower here to keep the bullish enthusiasm going. But these numbers will be digested in tomorrow morning's trade. After that, we feel the market's going to start focusing on the weather and planning progress from there on out.
Export numbers for soybeans were good this morning?
And inspections came in on beans at 26.3. They were looking for 14 to 19. Better than what the trade was looking for. Corn was a little disappointing, 23. They're looking for 27 to 34. And the wheat shipments, 17, that was at the upper end. They were looking for 13 to 17. Shipments, we need to continue to make sure we're shipping out what we sold. Sales, we'll see here on Thursday, see if we continue to see, strong demand from Asia. As far as export goes, we're not that far off from what the USDA is projecting. We just need to see continued business coming at us here. If we're consistent and continue to see decent sales from here to the end of the marketing year, exports should finish with a positive note there, Todd.
Any expectations for the crop progress report that's due out in just about 45 minutes?
It's kind of hard to nail. I think, as a nation, corn planting progress, be 8%, maybe 9% complete. There's some very early stuff went in. There's corn knee-high there in southwest Oklahoma. From west and south, the crop's off to a fairly good start here. They've been receiving some rains in those drier X's in Texas and Oklahoma and Kansas. So we'll expect a decent crop out of that region there. Here, guys had mixed opinions. Some put a little crop in early here, so they got some in March. Others were wait until after Easter here. Others are going to wait till next week. There's a handful of guys, if not a whole lot of large acreage south of here, put it in and done with it. So there's mixed ideas, but I have a feeling here as long as the weather doesn't turn adverse, by the end of the month in here, we ought to have 75-80% of the corn crop in.
It could move quickly. Will that have much of an impact on the price of corn, do you think?
Well, traditionally, these early plantings and with the conditions we have with really no holes out there, barring no flood anywhere, everything gets in the ground and up, psychological wise, it's probably going to keep a lid on new crop corn until we get into the first part, mid part of June. Then it's kind of hands of the weatherman from there on out, Todd.
All right. When you look at the soybean numbers in particular, and let's take up just a bit more the proposed average carryout, which is 246 compared to 275, and that would be for this year. But by comparison to recent years, when we have been as low as 115, I think even maybe 105, but certainly 135 or half of what we're looking at this point, that number looks pretty fair-sized, yet we have a $14 nearby soybean price. Does that scare you at all?
The price in relationship to who owns the market is kind of scary because it's huge speculative buying in the bean complex. And as a speculator or a trader, you know, that's not... They could be on it one day and turn around and change their mind and want to be out of the market, and it could drop, you know, 50 cents to a dollar real early if something would spook them or give them reason, you know, to exit the market. But the enthusiasm, I guess, in the grain complex is longer term. With the smaller South American crop, the trade believes that carryout number is going to continue to shrink. Then, two, when you take this year's carryout and move it into next year's supply-demand balance sheet and have a lower acreage number and continue to keep a big demand base there, that 2012-2013 production is really, really tight. And so the trade's wanting to maintain some ownership here until we see how the acreage and the growing conditions materialize as we get into this early summer time window time.
Anything to discuss out of the livestock sector? Both the cattle and the hogs are off of their highs now.
Oh, boy, yeah. We got to the fats that 130 area was, you know, which was well advertised, a little too rich. Same thing with the feeders, 160. We just kind of saw demand come to a little bit of a halt here. It was speculatively driven on part of it, and when they got the sell signals, the whole thing collapsed. The cash market collapsed. But we feel here in this 120 to 116 area on the fats, and these feeders back in this 150 to 145 area will be significant support there as we move down the road here. We've got to continue just to monitor our exports on the beef side of the equation. Domestic consumption still is really weak. In the export market, a strong export market's been the savior here on the fat side of the equation here to keep the market in a positive mode.
Kurt, thanks so much.
Very good.
Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities. He's in Normal, Illinois, and joined us here on the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon. Now, if you'd like to hear Kurt again, you can always do that on our website. The address is WILLAG.org. There you'll find all of our daily agricultural programming from the pre-opening market report to the closing market report and everything in between.
Leonard Seed Service supports agricultural programs as an additional service to its customers. Leonard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Now, if you happen to travel the secondary roads and the highways of Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, any place in the Corn Belt in the next few weeks, starting this week in particular, be sure to watch out for tractors and slow-moving vehicles. It is the planting season, and there will be very large vehicles on the road and moving from one space to the other. It's pretty easy to run up on them quickly, and they're moving much slower than you. So be safe and keep an eye out for those farmers on the roads. Now here's Dave with today's agricultural news. Or maybe not at this point. We'll get to Dave in just a second. One other thing. On Commodity Week this week, Dan Bossi will be our guest. He's with Ag Resources out of Chicago, Illinois, and Jackie Vakes will be in studio with us along with Bill Mayer. We'll take a look at what happened in tomorrow morning's USDA World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates, and we'll discuss what producers should be doing with the crop that they're putting in the ground right now.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 95 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
In agricultural news, the CME Group says that it will require brokerage firms to report daily customer fund levels as of May 1st as part of the greater oversight of business operations in the aftermath of the MF Global missing funds case. An investigation of MF Global is ongoing as a portion of the $1.6 billion in customer money is still missing. The daily reports must be signed by the broker's chief executive officer, chief financial officer, or their designated representative. CME Group will also conduct limited reviews on a surprise basis of customer segregation reports. USDA says in a new report that young people working on farms are suffering fewer injuries. Workers under age 20 had 3,191 non-fatal injuries on farms in 2009, the latest year for which figures are available, down 36% from 4,964 injuries in 2006. The new data comes as the Department of Labor considers the first changes in four decades to rules for children working on farms. The Labor Department proposal would bar children 15 and younger from tasks including driving farm equipment and working in tobacco fields. Children under 18 would no longer be allowed to work in grain elevators and livestock feed yards. The National Resources Defense Council says that Corn Belt states are among the least prepared for threats to water as a result of climate change. The environmental group's report has four categories that show the difference between the best prepared states and those that lag behind. Five of the 12 states listed in Category 4, those states that have yet to address climate change adaptation at all, include Iowa and Indiana. Category 3 includes Nebraska and Illinois as states that have made limited efforts. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration says temperatures in the lower 48 states were 8.6 degrees above normal for March and 6 degrees higher than average for the first 3 months of the year. Meteorologists say an unusual confluence of several weather patterns, including La Nina, was a direct cause of the warm start in 2012. The first quarter of 2012 broke the January-March record by 1.4 degrees. U.S. temperature records date back to 1895. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. That second program is our weekend look at what happened in the world of agriculture, and we've already booked our guests for this Friday. We'll record at 4:30, post to our website about 6 o'clock at WILLAG.org. Dan Bossi of Ag Resource Company will be our guest on Commodity Week Friday of this week. Now, up next, you know, tomorrow morning, USDA will release an important set of numbers for row crop farmers. I'll have more on how the report may help set the tone for the price of corn and soybeans this season. The The WASD numbers track the supply and demand for commodities like corn, soybean, and wheat. And WASD stands for World Agricultural Supply Demand Estimate. It's a monthly report released by the United States Department of Agriculture's World Agricultural Outlook Board. Once a quarter, this report, by law, must square or balance with USDA's NAS Grain Stocks report. It was released March 30th for the second quarter and dramatically increased how quickly corn stocks in the United States were being used, but did not say how. That part is left to the WASD numbers, says University of Illinois ag economist Daryl Good.
I think you can make a case that they might raise the feed use 100 million bushels or so. Exports have been a little slow. They might make some adjustments there. So that's going to be a critical number.
Well, the WASD report works a bit like a checkbook balance. It shows how much is in the bank, what's been deposited, and then how it's being used. The amount in the bank, in this case the available supply of corn, must balance with the amounts to be used. The available supply is what's left over from the previous crop, in this case the 2010 harvest, plus the latest harvest, that's 2011, plus any imported corn from other nations, and yes, that does happen. The amount used is a projection as the year progresses, but merges to actual numbers over time. It includes bushels exported, bushels fed to animals, bushels used to make ethanol, and then a catch-all category called residual. Those are the flex bushels used to make things balance a bit better. USDA adds those categories up, subtracts it from the supply, and the sum becomes the ending stocks number. It is what's left over and the primary number the trade uses to set price. This week's WASD report will recalculate that number based on the quarterly grain stocks figure, which was about 150 million bushels of corn smaller than the trade had expected. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon. Lisa Jones from the Andersons from right here in Champaign County joins us to take up the cash grain market. Have you been busy there today, Lisa?
We have been busy. I think a lot is just trying to follow up with guys who have either been in the field and are trying to wait for moisture or still continue just to try to keep updated as to what's actually going in.
Yeah, and what are they wanting from you today?
Rain. I mean, I think that's going to be the bigger issue. I think the guys are continuing to watch this bean market ratchet higher. We're hearing of a few acres here or there that's going to make the switch, but I don't know the biggest acres that'll switch will be right here in Illinois. I think the bigger issue is just trying to figure out what the forecast is going to be for the next 10 to 15 days.
And they're not calling in to make new crop or old crop sales of corn or soybeans?
No, I think with corn just kind of staying steady at, you know, basically unchanged for the new crop, guys aren't adding to that. And I think a lot of people are expecting to see Novi 12 beans hit that $14 range after the report tomorrow. So not a lot of new crop sales being made on the books here today.
Once we get $14, you think you'll start buying?
I think we'll see some. I think guys will continue to add to their books. I think it's the folks that made $12.5 and $13 sales early on are trying to look for something else to help balance that out.
And your bids for the day?
We are cash corn, $6.62, fall corn, $5.25, cash beans, $14.19, and fall beans, $13.52.
Thanks so much, Lisa.
Thanks, Todd.
Lisa Jones is with the Andersons Climbers Facility right here in Champaign County. Joins us on a Monday afternoon. We'll be back in just a couple minutes to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago. They're high above the loop on the 23rd floor of the Boeing building.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
In agriculture.
It's National Chinese Almond Cookie Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1682, Robert de La Salle discovered the mouth of the Mississippi River and claimed the whole Mississippi basin for France. He named it Louisiana in honor of Louis XIV of France. LaSalle returned to the New World 2 years later with intent to establish a French colony on the Gulf of Mexico at the mouth of the Mississippi. But the expedition was plagued by pirates and poor navigation, landing on what today is Victoria, Texas. LaSalle never saw the Mississippi again. Three attempts to find it on foot failed, and LaSalle was eventually murdered by one of just 36 colonists remaining from the original 300 making the trip. In 1850, William Prout died, an English chemist. He was the first to classify food components into three main divisions: carbohydrates, fats, and proteins. In 1872, Samuel R. Percy of New York received a patent for dried milk. In 1894, R.H. Gray received a patent for a baling press. And in 1922, Sir Patrick Manson died. Manson co-founded a dairy farm in 1886 in Hong Kong, which looked to improve health by supplying cows milk free of contamination by means of stringent hygiene. And that's this day in agricultural history.
WILL agricultural programs and services are made possible by the Friends of WILL and by Bates Commodities, Anderson's Incorporated, AgriGold Hybrids, and Wisconsin Plastic Drain Tile. Thank you for your continued support.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Monday afternoon. On the phone line with us is Mark Russo at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, to take up the agricultural weather forecast. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It feels a whole lot more like April than it has in recent weeks, that's for sure.
Yeah, certainly a change in the pattern here over the past week or so with some of the Canadian air that's now flowed down into the middle of the country, and we see more of that here on tap over the next few days before actually temperatures rebound to somewhat more summer levels here over the upcoming weekend. So kind of a bit of a roller coaster ride here in temperatures here coming up. Cooler than normal temperatures over the next several days, but again, that will give way to warmer than normal temperatures over the upcoming weekend. In fact, it looks like warmer than normal temperatures look to prevail across the Midwest throughout all of next week. Based on at least with the cool temperatures here in the short term, we still do not see that as any kind of major problem, especially since they're occurring just now with, you know, corn planting commencing, and at least in those areas with newly emerged corn here, we do not see temperatures dropping down to problematic levels, albeit they're still a little bit colder than normal for this time of year.
You know, a few folks would still really like to have a rainfall. Do we get that opportunity with the clash of cold and warm air or not?
Yeah, Todd, we do see not one but several opportunities for rain starting up later on this week as several storm systems begin to cross, well, the plains and then move into the Midwest. And at least this window here coming up of Thursday through next Tuesday, which looks to be the most active window here for the Midwest, we are forecasting over 75% coverage of the entire Corn Belt, receiving 0.5 to 2 inches with localized heavier amounts. And so for much of Illinois and adjacent areas of Iowa and Indiana, it looks like a great opportunity for rain.
It should be a great opportunity and set us up for a good start as long as it doesn't continue to rain, that is, to the growing season. What do you see further out?
Yeah, at this time, we do not see any real excessive wet patterns evolving across the Midwest, which would be of great concern, just like you mentioned here. So kind of more kind of typical spring here, you know, variable temperatures, some opportunities for rain, but at least looks like through the end of the month, no sign of real any wet patterns.
Take a look at China and the beginning of their growing season for me, please.
Shaping up to be pretty good across China. It still is a little bit on the cold side across Manchuria, as that area still has a little bit of snow cover and recent colder than normal temperatures. But much of China is warming up, and we'll see above normal temperatures over the next couple of weeks. And with a great soil moisture base, they should be starting off their season in pretty good shape.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy. He's in Chicago, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon. Be sure to visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. If you have not yet signed up for our free weekend newsletter, please do so. And we'll try to get off to you in future weeks, not this week yet, but in future weeks, a newsletter with updates in the marketplace, including what's been happening in the USDA reports. By the way, they're reported there on our website, too. About halfway down tomorrow morning, Dave Dickey will post them about 7:30 into the website. I'm Todd Gleason.
WILL agricultural programs and services are made possible by the Friends of WILL and by Strategic Farm Marketing, Boulder Design, Stuart Peterson, and Pioneer Seeds. Thank you for your continued support.